Pulamidong is an album of original songs and stories created as a legacy piece to a three-year intercultural project between schools, communities, cultural leaders, South Coast musicians, and leading arts and social change organization, Big Heart. And to get some insights into this groundbreaking album, I'm joined by Gabriela Green-Olea and Warren Foster, a.k.a. Prodigal One. But thanks for joining us and welcome to Night TV Radio.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Great to be here.
I'll start with a question that can be addressed to any of the two of you. Take us through the making of this album, because I gather it's a multi-year project. It's not something that just came up like that. It's been a long time coming.
It's been an amazing process to get to the album launch, like, and to get to the album being out there now. You know, we started, 2 years ago, maybe three, and I think it was like 2 years ago we started working in the communities, trying to develop different shows for the three different communities. So down in Eden, at Wallaga Lake, and then up in Nara. So, you know, putting on events and performances for the young people within those communities. But then, yeah, so that developed into a bigger thing. So we went on put on a massive show that involved like storytelling, telling stories of the old Dreamtime stories that's been passed down. We used singing and songwriting and then dancing, you know, working with the young people within community, just to, give them an opportunity to experience, you know, what it is to put on a show and put a show together and even be recorded and put on an album and on, you know, on all platforms and stuff like that.
Yeah. You work on different platforms, you play different genres of music, and you've wowed audiences right across the country. How is it like working with the youth from these small communities?
I always see myself within those, within the young people and within the kids of community, often because they're family, but also, yeah, I just see myself because I was one of those young people, you know? And yeah, I'm always thankful for the people that come to community to teach me and to inspire me to do the many different things that I do. Like, it all started from dancing and stuff with my father, like one of Costa Senior. That's where the dancing and culture comes from. And then and the music comes from him as well. From me traveling, doing that there to, you know, having the opportunity to teach young people and kids of my community and all my nephews and nieces to, like, you know, teach them a bit of music and a bit of singing or even just dancing and telling stories that I've been told. You know, because they're the stories of who we are and where we come from as a people.
Yeah.
As a community.
I think it's also great, like, having all the different art forms, because it just allows, like, so many people to participate as well. I don't think this album would have been the album it was if it wasn't for the dancing and the storytelling. And even we did, like, you know, we designed skateboards, so it's so multidisciplinary, and I think that just really allows for kids to kind of engage in so many different ways and have a say in what, you know, in a way that feels comfortable for them, but then still be a part of the bigger picture. So, like, the lyrics of the song, you know, talked about the Dreamtime stories that we learned, and also, you know, there's a line about an eagle flying over us, and that happened every time we did a dance outside. We had an eagle fly on top of above wow. us before we danced every single time. So it's all these kind of little experiences that come from different parts of the journey that kind of come to this, to this song and to this album.
So yeah, the outdoor shows were a lot different than the indoor, like, well, to the album launch. The three communities, like Eden, worked super hard. Like Brother Nathan Ligon down there worked super hard with the young people. And they've done an amazing job and, like, put on an amazing outdoor performance as well as, recording. So it was amazing, the Eden crew. And then As a Wollongonger, working with all the young people from the community was something else. But even working with the older fellas like Uncle Raj and Dad as the Wollongonger dance there, and our song on that there is it's amazing. You know, Brother Nookie played it on the, I think it was his, yeah, on his show. It was mad as.
Yeah, so it became really, like, even though it began with a youth focus, the whole community's got involved and it did become, you know, quite an intergenerational project.
The launch, which was in Shoalhaven, is described as something really magic. You said it's different from other appearances that you've made throughout the region. Can you give us a little bit more insight into how the launch, how the magic moment of launching this album was already a little bit low over a month ago? No, less than a month ago, actually.
Because the show has been developing over so long, and like we've put on the free performances, outdoor performances in a different community, was unsure like how the live show of the album is gonna go in the process of it. Yeah. So we were developing it with all the people on, like with all the community mentors and stuff, and the cultural mentors within the three different communities and the different teachers and stuff.
Yeah.
So with all of us coming together and developing it, and we was like, yeah, because I was still unsure how many people was going to come.
And then all of a sudden,
Once we finally did get there, I was blown away. It was one of the greatest experiences ever, you know, and especially like bringing the young people from Wollongonger Lake and, you know, my nephews and nieces up, little cousins to come and, you know, little brothers to experience such a big stage like the Shoalhaven Entertainment Center. No, there's not many words that can describe it. Like, there's a thousand words that can describe it, but I can't find them all now. It was special, and meant so much to me to spend that time with everyone who came, with all the band members, all the different people that helped us, like Gabby and like all the crew, and even you saw the young people that was involved in the making of it.
It says that this whole process involved workshops in local First Nations languages, involved different shows and art practices, including digital art film, filmmaking and songwriting, and all this in a culturally safe environment, which is really, really very powerful. Can you run us through those projects? Maybe give us some hint of how this came together and how you work together.
Yeah, so basically I think what was really important to keep kind of culture strong and at the forefront is just really engaging with like First Nation artists from those areas.
Yeah.
First Nations artists that are really, you know, kind of excelling and doing great stuff in what they do. And yeah, so they're not only just sharing like the skill sets in these different art forms, but they're also, you know, they're finding that strong sense of identity and able to sort of really have a strong connection to place where the art's being made. And so there's this, really beautiful response. And you kind of see it in all the songs, place becomes a really strong, is this kind of similar theme throughout. And then, you know, and then it's a beautiful connection also. So we have like a real kind of local First Nations led. Also, we had lots of visiting kind of mentors and different artists that brought different skill sets, you know, through the Big Heart team, which then allowed kind of those new skills to be learned. So, for example, like in the digital drawing space, and I mean, we had April Phillips. She's a Wiradjuri woman. She helped at that kind of beginning of that digital drawing space. But then, you know, we also had Scott Baker and lots of other. Savan and Sid Green, like they all bring their different art forms, whether that's in recording music or songwriting or projection and digital drawing and music production as well. So you've got a real community-led process, and then all these kind of extra skills that come in as well that just really allow everyone to kind of do new things and try new.
Yeah, the biggest thing with all those different projects was allowing opportunity for different kids to experience, you know, and for the kids to experience actually, just because they could see I know, maybe see something coming out of that there in the future. So yeah, they could aspire to maybe a different art practice or performance, you know, just through those different avenues that and did different projects that we did put on.
Yeah.
And that was just about like giving opportunity and experience to, you know, try new stuff. You know, there was a lot of amazing artists and like photographers and even amazing musicians and stuff.
Mm.
Yeah.
So it's a lot like back in the old days, like within the tribes and within communities, everyone has a role to play, you know. Everyone tells a story in their own ways. Some paint the pictures, some sing the songs, and some dance the dances. That's all one, you know.
And I believe some are just there to just encourage the youth, because when you have some heavyweights coming together, youth will just come because they're attracted to these big figures to come and watch their heroes and the people they admire and actually maybe follow. I think that would be also great to have heavyweights like yourselves interacting with young kids.
That was the biggest part, like the best part with the mentors within the community. Like Gab said, like, they had some great mentors that are achieving some amazing stuff, you know, and working with those mentors that are, you know, doing so much work with the young people within schools and stuff already and doing so much to bring back culture strong within community it makes it so much more stronger as well.
You're one of the cultural mentors, but you also perform and you're particularly involved in several tracks like Sticks and Stones, King Merriman, We Are One. Can you tell us one or two words about these particular tracks?
They're mad. Like, you know, I love them. Performing and working on these tracks was something else because it was so organic and it just come. It all come from the story of Sticks and Stones, which is a sacred creation story of the first woman and the first man, Ngadi and Tunku. So a lot of our stories at Waliga and a lot of what we do, because we live under Gulaga Mountain, that's where a lot of our Dreamtime stories come from and start. So telling that their story, sharing it to the young people, and then also putting it on the album was a dream.
Yeah.
You know, showing people the culture that we have here in the South Coast is the best thing that we could ask for. And even showing our own community, you know, this is a lot of the stuff that we still have. And this is for years to learn and teach in the future.
Now, before I let you go, maybe I'll open the mic to you for final thoughts, maybe where this whole project is going from where you started, where the journey so far, and going forward, what's in stock for us?
Well, the album's on, like, you can hear the album, so it's on Spotify and iHeart and all other digital music kind of stream platforms. So that's, you know, something if you haven't heard the songs, definitely encourage everyone to have a listen. And, yeah, hopefully we can, you know, get the groups back together and continue these workshops. And, you know, I think the show really and the album launch really left us at a real high. And I think, you know, the community, all the communities, all the young people and all the artists are really keen to kind of see what we can come up next. Maybe it's taking the show on the road or, yeah, continuing these sort of, yeah.
Yeah. The kids and all the mentors have already been asking, like, well what are we going to do now? Like, you know, what's the plan now? And the kids, like, they was on such a high. They want to do more of, like, this stuff. You know, being on stage with such a big band, a lot of the kids were asking, like, the next projects you do, could you teach us how to play instruments and stuff? So they want to learn how to play instruments. So now that they've seen, like, being on stage and done that there, we hope to, you know, that's going to be our next projects, I think, with them. So we may get some instruments and stuff for them and then teach them how to play some music.
And maybe take some cameras, get them to shoot their own videos and all that. So that they become just multi-talented like yourselves. Really.
That's the plan for now, you know. Like, that was the first experience for them. But now it's, you know, giving them the skills and further taking their aspirations and, you know, inspirations to show people, you know, and help them achieve goals and dreams that they aspire to and be the people they aspire to be.
Excellent.
The album, like the album is, I hope we can take it on the road. You know, that live show was one of the best experiences I ever had. You know, as an MC, like leading the show along to also, you know, all them laughs and all them good times. To take that to other places would be something else.
Yeah.
But yeah, make sure you all check it out on Spotify and iHeart. Yeah.
Keep us posted. We'd really like to cover your journey across the country. So stay in touch and we'd be really, really pleased to have you on air again to talk about this exciting project. Well, Cabrera Green-Olea and Warren Foster, thank you very much for joining us on ITV Radio today.
Thank you, brother. Enjoy Bulimitong album. Yeah.
I will. Thanks a lot.